We're talking with Jermoni Williams, city council member from Brooklyn, who recently announced for lieutenant governor for the Democratic Party nomination. Jermoni, why are you hoping to be lieutenant governor?
I'm super excited about this race. First, thank you for having me on the show. I don't think I've been as excited since the first time I ran for city council 9 years ago. You know, I realized when I was a council member, a lot of the issues I worked on, from housing, gun violence, education, jobs, needed a citywide response. And so I did my best in my capacity to provide that. I'm noticing now a lot of the issues I see across the city, and now having toured the state, a lot of cities, the responses that are needed are on a statewide level. And so I'd like to lend my voice to really push forward on a progressive agenda in a place where I think there are a lot of people now putting on a progressive cloak because it's popular. I'm not sure if they 100% believe it. And some of it is lip service. And I see this position, I think, a little differently than a lot of other folks do.
Hi, Jermoni. This is Cynthia Pula from Focus on Albany. You're running for lieutenant governor. Are you running on a ticket with somebody that's running for governor?
Right now, I'm running by myself. I think there's some interesting people who are being discussed about as a possible gubernatorial candidate. I think it's amazing to think about our first woman governor in the state of New York. But right now, I'm focused on my race and the office as I see it, which I think whomever the governor had chosen would be his lieutenant governor. I'm running to be the people's lieutenant governor, a public advocate for the state of New York.
Now, our station covers the Capital District. You obviously have been a city council member from Brooklyn, New York City. What are some of the issues, say, here in the Capital District that people might be interested in?
What I'm learning as you go across the state is many of the issues I worked on in the city, people are dealing with across the state, which is not too surprising. I used to run an organization called Tenants and Neighbors. They had a statewide presence for quite some time. And so housing and homelessness are usually the first or second things that people talk to me about. Not having a place to live, the amount of homelessness that's increasing in the cities that they live, including the Albany area. The inability to find a good paying job so they can have safe housing, food on the table, and send their kids to school. That's what everybody actually wants. And I think there's a direct correlation between the people who provide funds for leadership, particularly in the gubernatorial mansion, and the type of policies that do or do not come out of the Albany area for the rest of the state, and the homelessness crisis and the housing crisis that we're seeing. Education similarly, transportation similarly.
Governor Cuomo has a huge war chest of, I believe it's $30 million, and I'm sure he's going to be sharing it with Kathy Hochul. Do you think that you will be able to keep up with the governor and lieutenant governor's fundraising prowess?
Well, thankfully, in terms of that, I'm not running to be governor. I'm running for the lieutenant governor position. But he does have some good fundraising, and I'm sure he'll share what he can with the current lieutenant governor. The law does prevent a huge amount of sharing, but even still, we'll never match their capability. But I don't think we have to. I think there's enough angst across the state that we can build off of, and actually we have been building off of, and showing that this kind of activism energy can push back and defeat the institutional and large amounts of money from the outside. And that's what I built my career on, and that's what I'm seeing happen. The pendulum has swept that way. People are looking for genuine leaders who really believe in these issues.
One of the key issues that being debated right now at the state level is the funding for the mass transit for the New York City subway system, as well as the governor's plan not to do an increased tax on the wealthy, but to use congestion pricing. How would you fix mass transit, not New York, just in New York City, but statewide, and how do you think it should be funded?
Well, it's hashtag Cuomo's MTA. He has the most resources and power when it comes to the MTA, although the city of New York does provide 60 or 70% of the budget. What I've learned there also is there's a huge crisis, obviously, in the MTA that is primarily on the governor's fault and the governor's sphere. But transportation, public transportation, other alternative transportation across the state I'm learning are very big issues for people even outside of New York City, and we have to deal with that as well. I actually do support congestion pricing. In New York City in particular, it's been, I think people hear taxes and they just go crazy. But congestion pricing won't hit the vast majority of people who normally get hit when the MTA increases go up. And so the question is, if you ride a subway to and from work, you're constantly getting increased. I think it's time for some people, including myself, that often drive in to pay our fair share as well. And the vast majority of people who are working class, poor, middle class, will not be hit because they don't drive into the middle of Manhattan on a daily basis in the specific hours we're talking about. But, you know, the millionaire's tax is not something that we should take light of. I think, as I mentioned, people should be paying their fair share. Money is one thing, but political will and creative is another. So you can get as a lot of money as you have, but you also have some creativity in what you're doing.
I know the transit situation in New York is a big problem, and it's going to be an overriding issue. But as you talk to people upstate, what has their feelings about the issues that are important to them up here, and what have you learned?
Again, a lot of issues are similar. Housing is a big one. We're seeing people being pushed out, priced up. We're seeing people whose homes are specifically not being taken care of so they can be pushed out. People are talking about the inability to access jobs. I didn't even realize how much CFE, campaign for fiscal equity, affects people's education outside of New York City, so people are very concerned about that. People are all concerned about transportation and transportation alternatives, even outside of New York City. I'm learning how much even the immigration issue is affecting folks. Having ICE agents in bus stations and waiting for folks, even in the farmland, even sometimes a little more conservative, they are now concerned because many of their workers and their families are being threatened. So there are a lot of issues that are similar. It's just different barriers that show themselves depending on the region that you're in.
So this is our last question. I'll do a two-part. One part will be, how do people find out more information about you, your website? But I had been living in New York City until recently, and I organized actually the first big meeting in Brooklyn over the plastic bag law, which the governor had vetoed. Brad Lander, of course, introduced it. As governor, what would you do with respect to the plastic bags, and how do people find out more information about Jermoni Williams for lieutenant governor?
Well, thank you for that question. People can go to www.JermoniWilliams.com, and Jermoni is J-U-M is in Mary, A-A, there are two A's, N is in Nancy, E is in Ernie, Williams is a normal spelling, JermoniWilliams.com. I'm on Twitter, at Jermoni Williams, and on Instagram, at Williams Jermoni, and of course I'm on Facebook. I supported the plastic bag bill after some changes were made in the city council, particularly a study to make sure that the poorest communities and communities who are historically disenfranchised weren't adversely affected. But the truth is, when it's been done in other cities, we realize that they're not affected. People actually change their behavior and don't end up paying the fees. Again, this is just a case where people can use fear and refuse to look at what's actually factually happening and continue to push forward fear just so something doesn't happen. And so particularly Senator Simca Felder and others really got people up in arms unnecessarily, saying we're going to fight this. They called it a tax on the bag, which, you know, for lack of a better word, I guess you can call it a tax or a fee. But the fact of the matter is, where these things were put in place in other cities, the studies show that people do not pay them. They change their behavior. And so we have to continue to educate people. This was a miseducation that was done purposefully.
Thank you. And that was Jermoni Williams.